So how we doing? How are we doing that first step stuff? Anybody want that bottle of wine?
It was vodka.
We got a Charlotte. We can write vodka on it.
So I asked you to draw a conclusion as to your first step. What am I? Am I alcoholic? Am I addict? Am I alcoholic addict? Any conclusions drawn?
I'm a drug addict.
Okay, just an exercise in solidifying my first step. Second time through the work, went through a piece of work with Joe, and I had some trouble in my first piece. And he said, you probably had some trouble because your foundation is not solidified. Went through a piece of work, did some spiritual stuff, a lot more than what we did here. I saw a way I did things for heroin. I did not do for alcohol. I did not sell my soul for alcohol. As a result of that, I was asked to leave Alcoholics Anonymous. Up until that point, I had been going to AA, and we had a Tuesday night meeting down in Santa Monica. Greg used to go to it. And Joe said, being that you are addict, you are not alcoholic, you cannot come back. And that's when I gravitated to Cocaine Anonymous, and I found a home in CA because of cocaine and all other mind-altering substances. And also because they use the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous as their basic text. This is the granddaddy. So I found a home, and that fellowship, I've flourished in that fellowship ever since. And I found the fellowship that I crave. First step is found in the first four chapters of the Big Book. First five chapters, actually. Bill's story, Doctor's opinion is the solution more about alcoholism. We agnostics, 44, 45, middle paragraph, 152, is where you find first step. They want you to get an in-depth knowledge as to what your problem is. They want you to solidify your foundation. That's what keeps you here. Well, I personalize, that's what's kept me here. I don't know what's kept you here. If you're in my club, that's what's kept you here. So, second step. Being powerless, what's my problem? Page 45. Middle paragraph says, lack of power, that is my dilemma. Remember, we're personalizing. As we move through, you guys do what I do, or what I say. In your book, you can highlight, mark your books, write in it, do whatever you want. Page 45, second paragraph, tells me what my problem is. Doesn't say lack of heroin, or lack of cocaine, or lack of alcohol. It says lack of power, right? So that stuff is not my problem. That's what I use to solve my problem. My textbook says, lack of power, that is my dilemma. I have to find a power by which I can live. Why? Why do I have to find a power?
Because I can't do it on my own power.
Can't do what?
Manage.
Can't fix this stuff. I can't fix this stuff. And even if I can fix it, does it stay fixed? No. I need it to stay fixed, right? So lack of power, that is my dilemma. I have to find a power by which I can live, and it has to be a power greater than myself. Oh! And they put this squiggly writing in there. Anytime you see squiggly writing in the Big Book, in the process is of utmost importance. Power greater than myself. So power greater than myself implies what?
There's a greater power.
But it implies what? There's something it implies.
There is one, and I'm not it.
Yeah, but it implies something else.
Must be something else.
I'm telling you, these school of guys that I come from, man, we get in this deal. It implies what? A power greater than myself implies what?
Big and strong.
Yeah? Come on, talk to me. What else?
Universal spirit.
Yeah, but it implies something.
Oh, it'll keep me separated.
Huh? It implies that I got some power. What does it say? A power greater than myself. It implies I got some power. What's the deal with that? The deal with that is I don't know what to do with it. And I don't know how to use it. You guys with me? Somebody say the words back to me. A power greater than myself. So if it's a power greater than me, it means what?
I've got some power.
It means I'm a power. It means I'm a power. I just don't know how to use it. I don't know what to do with it. I probably knew how to use it at one point in my life, but I lost that. I need to learn how to use that power again. Talk to me. What?
We're channeled the power.
Yeah. Ooh. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could do what?
Restore his sanity.
Restore? So it means at one time what?
I was sane.
Come on now. Work with me. Work with me. Yeah.
That's a big assumption.
What about the possibility that some of us weren't sane?
Well, I don't believe it because they don't say that. That's simple. I just talked to somebody about simplicity. Where is he? Simplicity. He said 9 times out of 10. There's your answer. 9 times out of 10. It's that simple. But my alter ego is so shrewd, it won't let me tap into that. Remember what the book says. Baffling, cunning, powerful. Remember what I said earlier. It is out to get me in whatever way it can. It's going to try to deceive me. The words are right here. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore. So if something is restored, it's brought back to what?
Original state.
Original state. So was I always corrupt?
Yeah.
Was I always altered?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
No.
No. Talk to me.
I watch my daughter. Yeah.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
Come on.
I can't, but I see it.
Right. I wasn't always screwed and twisted.
I don't remember when I was two. It's like, how do I know I was insane or not sane when I was two?
You don't.
Exactly.
But now I gotta base my belief system in something. And I'm willing to base it in what this tells me as opposed to what I think I know. That's what the Laicide Prayer is about. Why? Because I need a foundation. So I'm willing to believe what's worked since 19 for thousands or millions of people. I gotta let go of me. I gotta let me go. And I gotta get a whole new set of deals to stand on and believe in. I got to, man. Why?
When you dumped your dad.
Why? Because I'm powerless. And I better get some power to live. Because if I don't, I'm coming to get him. He's going to show up. And I will have no mental defense not to. It's that simple. So it says lack of power. That is my dilemma. We talked about is, right? Current manifestation. Today. This moment. This day. Current. I have to find a power by which I can live, and it has to be a power greater than myself. But where and how am I to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main objective is to enable me to find a power greater than myself that will solve my problem. What's my problem?
Lack of power.
Does anybody need this stuff? Anybody need it? Because I'm going to erase it in a minute, so if you need it, write it down. Well, that's exactly what this book is about. That means we've written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. Moral, of or pertaining to conduct or character from the point of right and wrong. Of or pertaining to conduct or character from the point of right and wrong. Spiritual, of, like, or pertaining to the nature of spirit. What is spirit? The vital essence of man, considered divine in origin. And it means, of course, we're going to talk about God. Here, difficulty arises with agnostics. Greg's talked about agnosticism a little bit. An agnostic is somebody that believes that there is a God, but he just ain't hanging out with me. He ain't doing nothing for me. Many times we talk to a new man and watch his face rise as we discuss his alcoholic problems and explain our fellowship, but his face falls when we speak of spiritual matters, especially when we mention God, for we have reopened the subject which our man thought he had neatly evaded or entirely ignored. Highlight that word God, highlight neatly evaded or entirely ignored. We're getting ready to do an exercise. We know how he feels. We have shared his honest doubt and prejudice. Highlight honest doubt and prejudice. Some of us have been violently anti-religious. To others, the word God brought up a particular idea of him or her. Highlight a particular idea of him or her or it with which someone had tried to impress upon them during childhood. Perhaps we rejected this particular conception. Highlight particular conception. Because it seemed inadequate. With that rejection, we imagined we had abandoned the God idea entirely. Highlight abandoned the God idea entirely. Particular conception inadequate, abandoned the God idea entirely. So, exercise to do in about 10 minutes. Top of the paper. Got some paper to write on? How do I think about God? How do I think about God? Here's what I want you to use in writing this. Paragraph, couple lines. We just read a piece here on page 45. We highlighted some stuff. Neatly evaded or ignored the God idea. How have you done that throughout your life? How have you neatly ignored the God idea? Any honest doubt and prejudice? Have you ever gone to God and asked him for something and he didn't do it and it was like, oh, I knew you wasn't having it. I'm looking for the stuff that you think about God that you don't tell people. like he's got his particular people, his chosen people. Growing up in churches and Catholic and other faiths, other religions, that God is a punishing God. I grew up in this little church that if you didn't walk the straight and narrow, you was going to hell. I guess from the age of 7, 8, I was going to hell. Going to church every Sunday. A particular idea of God. A face. A figure. They got them all around them. In that little church I grew up with, they kept a little picture. They kept not a little picture, a big picture on the wall. And he was of human essence. He had a man's face and hair and features and everything. So God was a man. Particular idea of God. Particular conception. God is loving, caring, will take care of you if you do. It's my God. If that was true, I wouldn't be here with y'all. You with me? That's the stuff I'm looking for out of your own experience. Unique to your own experience on how do I think about God. I'm not looking for the fluffy, foo-foo, pink cloud, God is loving. Looking for that stuff that you don't tell people. That stuff that's way deep down in here that you keep secret, because I just can't say that about God. You strike me now. And then I'll ask a couple of you if you'd be willing to read them. If not, we'll keep moving. What does it say for the time limit for that next piece? Until what? 11:05. Minutes. How do I think about God? Anybody willing to read this? Let's hear what you got.
God wants me to suffer to change.
Wants me to suffer. Go ahead.
God treats people differently.
He treats people differently. What else?
God's idea of my life does not match my idea of my life.
Okay. How would you say that?
That I know better than God what my life's supposed to look like.
I know better.
God does not have a face, yet he's every face.
Okay. It doesn't. Okay. Good. Who else? Somebody else? Back here.
I answer back on there is no need for God. Absolutely not. Physics and math will explain it all.
What else?
That human conception of God, as I understand it, is far too small. It doesn't explain the expanse of the universe in basic science.
Thank you. Female. Right here.
God loves men more than women.
Ooh.
God must be a girl then.
Yes. Well, that was another one. I said God's more masculine than feminine.
God is masculine.
I said God's more masculine than feminine. Shut up, Scott.
I didn't say a word.
Give me a couple more. Some women.
God needs me to have something to control.
God needs you.
Have something to control.
So God needs you. If he needs you, it means he's not all powerful. Right. Yeah.
If God is loving and caring depending on what I do.
So God has conditions.
God's love is contingent.
If I'm good and do the right thing, I'll be rewarded.
Yeah.
He's only the perfect.
Think this
thing
is enough?
How about God gives me exactly what I put out?
Well,
just give me the immediate answer.
Well, God has conditions, right? I think we got enough here. Would you hang out with a guy that was like this?
No.
Talk to me.
No. That's the way I used to think. It's not the
right
way I think now.
But there's a jumping off point. Every time I get to second step, there's something lurking in the back of my head about agnosticism. Mm-hmm. Something. If I dig deep enough, I'll find it. Mm-hmm. There's always something in my second step. Why? The way I live my life out here. The way I'm walking. If I got anything going on like this and how I think about God, you probably don't believe. And you probably have not turned your life and your will over. Or you've probably done what is famous in the rooms. You turn it over, but you take it back. You turn it over, but you take it back. Turn it over, but you take it back. Why do you do that? Because you're not willing to believe that God is all-powerful. Here's the key. That's the nature of the beast. I don't know about you, but that's what's kept me here for 23 years. When I wake up out of my slumber, I see my life and the way it is based in my agnosticism. God is not capable of healing that area of my life. So I take the assumed power I take the reins, I begin to direct the show, and I set the players in place.
Can I ask a question?
Working it out.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
What if you believe that God could, but not that he would? He is all-powerful, but he's not willing to.
Well, that deals in coming to a conclusion with the second step, which we're going to talk about. Because having a belief in God is not necessary for movement through the rest of the 12 steps. And we'll talk about that a little bit further on. a wholehearted belief or faith in God is not necessary for successful cultivation of establishing a personal relationship. Do you follow me? But it's stuff like this that I need to take a look at, because this stuff is what blocks me. And if you're anything like me, until I got to a second step in a process of recovery, I never looked at this stuff. That belief system I had, I never looked at it. And I formed an opinion about God. He just didn't care about me because he didn't give me what I wanted. It never looked like, well, maybe your thinking indicates you think you God and you know what's best for you. You had a question?
Yeah. You said the quote that having a relationship, isn't it, doesn't the steps specifically says, can't believe the higher power greater than ourselves restores the sins. Isn't that all you need to believe? You need to have, like,
well, that's what I just said. We're going to get to a place where I get on a road to that.
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah, we're going to get to a place. You kind of putting the horse before the cart before the horse. What is it? Cart before the horse. Right. I first need to look at why. Why is my deal with God the way that it is? And it's based on stuff like this, which I probably, it's a, probably a million. Well, not a million, but a bunch of different stuff about how you really feel about God. He's punishing, he's arrogant, he's prejudiced. He works for Catholics and he don't for Baptists. All kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff that does not allow me to cultivate a personal relationship. And what I have to do, being I'm what?
Powerless.
I must. So there's got to be a way I can move past that stuff. So this exercise, somebody asked me about the little black guy that used to go around knocking on doors, making amends. Somebody asked me about GW last night here. GW freed me with this exercise. Because I'm blocked. I was in the room doing the work, but I didn't believe God was doing nothing for me, man. I had done so much stuff. And he put me on a path with this spiritual exercise that totally changed my conception of God. And what's happened ever since then, every time I move through a second step, it changes to some degree in some aspect. I'm enlightened on another level as to the God idea. For me today, God does not have a face. He's neither man nor woman. How could he be? For me. This is for me. When I put a man's face on him, it means it brings man's attributes immediately. And man has limitations. So something to think about. How do you really think about God? What you got down on your paper. After Greg talks a little bit, we're going to do something with that piece of work and move on in step two. Thanks, Greg.
Mike said, each time I go through the work, I get a different view about this particular step and what happens, you know, to it out. When I first went through it, it was based on that I didn't want to drink no more alcohol, or smoke no more crack. That's the bottom line. And I knew that the only thing that would keep me from doing that, it had to be something greater than me. I believe that what Bill says on page 16, that faith has to work 24 hours a day in us and through us, or we perish. And I had to believe that me going to get help, that I was going to get it. I had to have faith in that.
with me, it's about faith. I don't know if you have faith in something. It's going to be in a group or AA or something. You're going to have some faith in the beginning. Now, as time goes on, that's changed. I don't have that as much agnosticism as I did before. Because I realize every time that comes up with me, I just look at where God brought me from to where I'm at now. And all that stuff is just dissipates. So I believe it for my first piece of work, and if you're new in here, yeah, I'm gonna have a faith in it because I don't want to get loaded. And once I see what's happening in the first step, I'm convinced. What the first step tell me, the day coming again, well, I'm gonna get loaded. The evidence is there in the book and with my experience. So yeah, I go to the second step with the desperation of a drowning man, because I don't have no choice. Now today I go with the desperation of a drowning man, but in a different way, because when I look at the unmanageability of my life and I know I cannot continue to live like this sober, and I can't continue to be dominated by things that are outside of me and people. Y'all follow me? I'm just talking about where I'm at now as opposed to where I was. Because I believe that if my life don't change, sooner or later, I'll get back to that. You know. So I believe that And this is my take on it. I like on page 28 when it talks about here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I think that finding God is a personal thing with you. And it got nothing to do with nobody else says. It's got something to do with what you do and your relationship with God. See, because I ain't got nobody. I ain't got my daddy or my mama's concept of God. I ain't got my pastor's concept of God. I got my own. And that's what freed me up, is when he told me I could have my own. Whatever it is. It didn't make no difference. He told me that it would be a start. It's a start. So this is what I believe. I don't care what you got and what you believe. And the book tells me, say, we have no desire to convince anyone that by which there's only one way by faith can be acquired. It says, if we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, it means that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, are children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon what? A simple and understandable terms, as soon as we were willing and honest enough to try. Those having religious affiliation will find there's nothing disturbing to their beliefs or our ceremonies, and there's no friction among us over such matters. We think there's no concern of ours what religious bodies our members identify themselves with as individuals. This should be entirely personal affair, which each one decides for himself. In light of what?
Past
association. And or present choice. And I believe that. And I believe each individual has to find God in his own way and approach him his own way. I know, you know, I get on, and to tell you, I get on, I'm going to say this myself, but I get on my knees and I pray. And I know people that pray better than me. But I realize that I don't care what how you pray better than me, that I pray from what's from my heart and what's in my heart. And I talk to God just like I might talk to Mike. You know, what's up with this? What's happening with that? But over the years, I've formed a relationship with this God. And I've learned to trust him with most of the deals that go on in my life.
And it's a personal relationship between me and him. But it's based on what my faith is, and I believe. I have to get past my agnosticism. I have to get past the thinking that God can't do this, or trying to figure out why he ain't doing it. It ain't up to me to figure out why he ain't doing it. Just to believe that is the reason why he ain't. And then on the other end, well, my experience always showed me, it always turns out to be okay when I trust him and believe that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. That he's got my best interest at mind. That God's got my back. No matter what the circumstances or the situation looks like. He got it. And the only other thing I can fall back on is my own thinking. And I'm in trouble. Trust me. You know that thing they put on the AA wall that says, think, mm-hmm. Right? When you get past the third one, you done thought too much. That's my philosophy. And I say that because I don't really talk from where I'm at. It's where I'm at. I give in a lot quicker than I used to. I just say, oh, okay, that's it. Whatever happens, it's going to happen in my life. I don't have a shadow of a doubt who keeps me sober. But I do have a little agnosticism about how I think my life should be. Somebody said that. How I think my life should go. And whether God's going to do it my way. That's my agnosticism. Is he going to do it my way? And I've come to believe that doing it his way is the best way for me. No matter what it turns out to be. And so when you go home and you get on your knees, you praying to God, and ain't nobody around in AA to tell you, ain't no sponsor, it's between you and God. It's between you establishing a relationship with God. And it ain't got nothing to do with my mom or my daughter. That's why the program Alcoholic Anonymous works. That's why we got Muslims and Protestants and Catholics and all religions could build new. You know, we couldn't shove that stuff down the throat. We alcoholics wouldn't stand for it. You have to find it in your own way. That's just my take on it. You know, so other people do it other way. That's why I'm very comfortable where I'm at with my relationship with God today. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Here's a spiritual care inventory. Some questions you can ask yourself. When in a grocery store looking for something and cannot find it, do you ask for help or do you keep searching for it?
Keep searching.
When putting something together from a kit, do you follow the directions? Look at the directions only when you get stuck or totally figure it out by yourself? When you're in pain and need support, do you talk to people immediately, wait until it's over to tell someone, or go through it the best way you can without help? Is there a pattern of not letting yourself be helped, relying solely on one's self for help? Were these learned behaviors stemming from your childhood or your relationship with your primary caregiver, like your mother or your father? Did they support you when you made a mistake, show you how to do things, or let you learn on your own without being taught? This is stuff about cultivating a personal relationship with God. Describe how you feel when it becomes necessary to ask for help. Have you placed God in a little box? So,
as we move to conclusion of the second step, page 47, top of the page says, when therefore we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. That's the stuff you just wrote down pertaining to how I think about God. This applies too to other spiritual expressions which you find in this book. Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. At the start, this was all we needed to commence spiritual growth, to effect our first conscious relation with God as we understood Him, as I understand Him. Do I now believe, or am I willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? So, if I got stuff like this, does this say I believe? Does this say people treat people differently? Does it say I believe? I'm willing to believe in this God? So I might need to approach second step or cultivating a new conception of God personal to me with the willingness to believe. What I've found over the years is that the majority of people that come to the second step, that in some area there has to be a willingness. The belief system has grown in certain areas, but there's other areas that you still need to be willing to believe. So what I'd like you to do is take all that stuff you wrote on how do you think about God and flip it. And you flip it in the manner of, it says, wants me to suffer. I'm willing to believe God does not want me to suffer, that He wants the best for me. I'm willing to believe God does not treat people differently. He treats everybody the same. Maybe you treat people differently. Another piece of that is God does give us freedom of choice. I know better than God. I'm willing to believe God knows better than me. Why? Very simple. I'm sitting in Alcoholics Anonymous. Very simple. Very simple. The simplicity of this recovery process. So everything that you've written, put a I'm willing to believe combined with the stuff that you do believe. God is all loving. Yes, God has blessed me. He blesses me on a daily basis. Whatever is conducive with movement and healthy evolution. And the stuff that's blocking you, stuff like this, become willing to believe. God is unexplainable. I'm willing to believe that to some degree God is explainable. Now, that's a deal there, because the longer I stay clean, the less I can explain this God. He just blows me away, even to the fact of me saying He. There's no way God can be He. No way. God definitely does not love men more than women. Definitely. He loves us all the same. There's no more God in me than you. There's no more God in me with 23 years than is in my man with 6 months. No more. So I'd like you to take what you've written, flip it. Create a new conception of God that you're willing to believe in. The pieces that you already believe in, combine it with the pieces that you're willing to believe in. Like, what did you write?
How I'm willing to do it, or the other way?
No, the other way.
Okay, so loving, but doesn't really have an interest in me.
Okay, I'm willing to believe that God is loving and that He has an interest in me. You're creating a positive. You guys with me? And what happens is, moving from that place, you move into God taking hold and basically showing up to show you exactly what you're willing to believe in, that you can believe that. Because what he does is he begins to dance between the raindrops, I like to call them. And he begins to show up. When you least expect him, he shows up to show you that. What that guy was talking about there that weekend is really true. I can talk to him, I'm blue in the face. You need to have your own personal experience with God. And you begin to cultivate it in the second step. For me, and this is just me, second step is the most powerful step in the 12 steps. Most powerful step in the 12 step. Because without God, I ain't got nothing else. I'll talk about my spiritual room a little bit tonight and my ex-wife and that whole deal, but without God, I ain't got nothing. God has got to be first and primary in a personal relationship with that God. God said, Greg said it, not my grandmother who knew God, not my mother who knew God, not my godmother who knew God. Three women that raised me did not suffice when it came to Heron. So I want you to create a new conception of God. When we come back and begin the third step, we're going to do some stuff. Then we're going to take a group third step. We're going to call it a crowning. And we'll talk about it more in the as we cultivate and move into the third step. Okay? So take a couple of minutes, 5 minutes to create a new conception. Take a 5 minute break. Then come back. Let's get back here by 25 after, between 25 after and 11:30. Okay? 25 after and 11:30.